This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Woo-hoo. Woohoo! We made it! Woohoo! Woo.
Yeah, 100 shows. We even got a nice card.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheprick with a pass left corner, head open three for the tie. Good! Wiley has
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
It's over! The Bullpups have knocked off Bishop Miege! 62 McPherson, 58 Miege in overtime!
Everything happening in the sports world. Even some things not happening in the sports world.
We've got a little lemon cheesecake.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing, another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man dressed in red, and the man who's ready for a hopeful doubleheader of baseball today out on the Western Plains, Mr. Steve Sell.
Heading out to Hayes, America, as they like.
There you go.
Hayes, America.
Can we stop in Colby?
No.
You mind if we pop into Quinter real quick?
No. Hayes, America, it's not near as far as Colby.
Is Cimarron out there?
I have no idea.
What about Dodge City? Now, stop into Garden City? What about that, Steve?
Well, we'll be heading to Dodge City next year. Hayes is just about the same distance as Dodge City.
I just want to keep going west.
Yeah, it's about 100.
You want to pop into the mountain time zone for a minute?
No, I don't want to do that. But it's about 140 miles. We can make it in 2 hours, probably just under 2 hours. It's interstate all the way. You don't see anything. You talk about a desolate ride. We're going to have a desolate ride out to Hayes today. And we're actually on the road. As you're listening to this, we're on our way to
Hayes.
That's
right.
Because we are pre-recording today.
Yeah, the magic of radio. It's like 9:35 while we're recording this. But luckily, we have no time-stamped information like we have done a few times with the Royals, where we've just taken guesses whether they won or not.
Exactly.
And I guess if you were guessing from last night, yeah, they didn't win. They'll be playing this afternoon, which will start at 1:15. We will not be carrying it here because we're on our way to Bullpup Regional Baseball at Hayes today. The Bullpups will take on the Ulysses Tigers first. That game will start at 2 o'clock. We'll take the air at about 1:50. So for those of you going, wow, it's like 12:25, and you guys are going to take the air at 1:50? How are you going to get there so fast? Well, we're in the car right now. So big day coming up, and we'll preview those games here in a little bit coming up. We also can talk about the NBA as well as the Royals a little bit, which both of those were a little hard to watch last night. The main thing that we've got to talk about in this opening segment, Steve, is the Bullpup soccer performance from last night as McPherson won its opening round of the postseason game against El Dorado 14-0.
Two touchdowns.
And some of you may be thinking, oh my gosh, how could that have happened? That's just so unsportsmanlike. Well, those games are really hard because the Bullpups knew that they were the better team. They already had a 14-0 win over El Dorado earlier this year. The starters only played about 7 minutes.
Right.
And they were up about 7-0 when they came out of the game.
Yeah, 7 goals in the first 10 minutes. And realistically, El Dorado played like a team that just did not want to be here. After McPherson scored, I think it was 3 goals in less than 5 minutes to start the game, El Dorado was basically just walking around on the field. And you know, when you've had a season like El Dorado's had, they did not score a goal all year. Of course, they didn't win a game all year. They gave up over 100 goals all year. In fact,
they gave up over 150 goals.
Over 150 goals. And I think they only had 3 games that went past halftime, if I recall.
Not many.
So you really kind of had to feel for them. But at the same time, you got a job to do. The Bullpups took care of business early. Coach Adrian had the starters on the bench. And it was not like he was running up the score.
No.
El Dorado didn't do a whole lot to help themselves. I just felt like that was a team that once they got down 3-0 early, they knew what was going to happen. And there were times that they were just basically standing and watching the Bullpup shooting the ball. So 14 goals by 14 different players, though. I said that could be a national record. Of course, there's no.
It's got to be close.
There's no national records on stuff like that kept. But it certainly has to be. You know, there might be a team in California or something that scores 25 goals and a half, but you know, but they didn't have 25 different players, but 14 goals by 14 different players. We had some girls that scored that had not scored this year. That was nice to see. And
the goal from Reese Schroeder, who is the K-man, Kendall Shaw, our photo expert, he said it is his great niece.
I don't know, but he got
and
a great.
He had a couple of great pictures on Facebook.
He's got a great photo. I'll have the photos posted up. That's one thing I'm doing before we head to Hayes. I will be posting the photos from the soccer game. We got a lot of stuff posted on Mid Kansas Online today. Lots of stuff went on yesterday, baseball, softball. I also got the track and field preview. Bullpups go to Andale on Thursday
for
the regional meet. I know a lot of schedules say Friday.
It's Thursday.
The sheets that I got from Coach Pav from that, you know, from the state even say Friday, but we've talked to Shane Bacus. He says it is on Thursday. That is when we are showing up.
So, a very fun night last night for Bullpup Soccer. I love the shot that the K-man had of Reese Schroeder. She fired a shot with her left foot, and immediately both arms went in the air.
You know, she's a senior. She hadn't scored a goal in a varsity game.
And that's one thing that we talked about on the air last night, Steve, is that some people might be thinking, well, they're running it up. Why are they trying so hard? Well, pretty much everybody that was on the field for the final 30 minutes does not see a lot of varsity action, if any varsity action.
And like Coach Adrian.
And so it's a big moment for
them. If you read my story today on midkansasonline.com, Coach Adrian says, we've got 22 girls that can play, that can really play, and only 11 can play at a time. So that makes practices really a battle. That he says what really has made them good, you know, this last half of the season, they've only played one tough team, Newton,
right?
Basically Newton. But practice, the Bullpups are getting sharp in practice because, I mean, the opposing team's got Lakin Sheafrick in goal. She could be a starter for just about any team in the state. You've got Kelsey Wilson. She's got almost 10 goals this season. I think, what's she got?
She's like, got eight.
Eight goals. And she's like your number, 14 player, 13 player, and she's got eight goals. There's some teams that eight goals would be like their third or fourth highest scorer, or even second maybe.
The goal scoring list for the Bullpups is very impressive. I was thinking about that last night as I printed it off. Aislinn Hughes has 28 goals, which is the new single-season record.
Right, she broke Lauren Schwentz's 17-year-old record last night.
Claire Hedlund has 18. Jesse Kinniston has 16. Kenzie Godwin has 13. And Hannah Hageman has 11. I would be shocked if there was another team in the state that has five different goal scorers that are in double digits.
Oh, there's no way.
And your top three goal scorers also be in double digits in assists. Aislinn Hughes has 15, and Jesse Kinniston and Claire Hedlund both have 11.
Yeah, I don't think
those numbers are pretty incredible.
Those are staggering. And granted, you know, you've got a few games there where you can really kind of pad the stats. Two games with El Dorado, a game with Hutch was 10-0. I think there's a couple other 10-0 games in there. Bullpups have
14-0 El Dorado, 10-0 Augusta, 10-0 Winfield, 10-0 Rose Hill, 14-0 El Dorado again.
Yeah.
And the Hutch 10-0 game.
Yeah, so there's six games where they scored 10 goals. So, the numbers are a little inflated because they did play a few bad teams in there. But, you know, they've beaten some good teams, you know, a long way and played, of course, the only loss to May South, which, you know, might win 5A. Who knows? They could be the best team in 5A.
So the one thing that we do know going into Thursday as the Bullpups advanced out of their opening round regional game last night, they will take on Andover Central, who beat Buehler 2-0 last night. We had a pretty good feeling that it would be Andover Central because they gave the Bullpups a pretty good test.
And Buehler had been slumping late in the year. They'd kind of gone a little downhill late in the year.
McPherson beat Buehler 8-1 back on April 10th, and they beat Andover Central 4-0 on March the 26th. The other thing to remember about that, Steve, is that that was Andover Central's first game of the season.
Right.
That was McPherson's second game and the opening game of the McPherson Invitational. So, as the Bullpups stand at 15-1-1, the only team in their path to get to a state tournament, get to the state quarterfinals next week, is a team that they already have a 4-0 win against.
Yeah.
They have to feel really good.
Yeah, they do. And the thing that Coach Adrian and I talked about after the game, I said, are you worried about your team playing a pretty good defensive team? That's what they hang their hat on. They're a pretty good defensive team. They don't score a lot of goals, according to Coach Adrian. But, you know, they've had so many lopsided games since that Newton game. Do you worry about what happens, how they react when they actually play a team that's pretty good defensively, and say they do they get frustrated if they don't score like six goals in the first half? And it's like, what happens if it's 0-0 at halftime? You know, if Andover Central just packs it in and tries to steal it at the end. So that's what he said, you know, is so important about practice, that the players in practice give the varsity a pretty good test.
I'm going to read off the goal scorers from last night because there's 14 of them, and they all deserve their due. Hannah Hageman, Kenzie Godwin, Jesse Kinniston, Claire Headland, Maisie Edmondson, Aislinn Hughes, Kelsey Wilson, and those are just the first 7 goals in the first 10 minutes?
Right.
So here we go, deeper into the bench. Daphne Carrillo, Ree Schroeder, Marianne Worm, Stacey Pham, Addison Wash, Belle Alexander, and Natalie Headland.
And there were like 6 players that scored their first goal of the year, if I'm not
Let's
mistaken.
Let's see. Daphne Carrillo had already scored.
Yeah.
Ree Schroeder would have been her first. Marianne Worm, I don't think that would have been her first. No. Stacey Pham first, Addison Wash first. Belle Alexander first, Natalie Headland first.
Yeah, so several players got their first goal.
14 different players scored.
Yeah, and Coach Adrian said that was their plan. They talked about it before the game. He said the players that had not scored this year a varsity goal, they wanted to get them the opportunities. And Addison Wash was just kind of hanging around the 10-yard line for about 5 or 6 minutes, and she was getting some good chances, and then she finally got one in, which is good to see because, you know, she's a defender, and she doesn't really get a chance to score that much. And, of course, Riley Hatton, Lake, and Sheafreek shared time and goal.
I wish one of them could have scored.
I don't think Lake and Sheafreek touched the ball, and Riley Hatton touched it once that I can remember. So El Dorado never really got inside the 25-yard line last night.
I thought about this during the game last night, and I don't know how El Dorado would feel about this, and I think I brought it up to you.
Right.
Do you think it would have been kind of cool to let them score one?
Yeah.
I don't know how they would feel about it, and I don't know how Coach Adrian would feel about it. I think it would be kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
Because to lose your season 151-0 is sort of a sour taste.
Kind of a Charlie Brown type thing.
And so I don't know how those teams would feel, because you don't want to be thrown a pity party.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I hate, is when people do things. I don't like taking pity from people. If they maybe could have sort of tricked them, like the kid on Christmas, if they could have tricked them into making them think they earned the goal or something like that, do you think that would have been cool? I don't know.
I kind of wish they'd score, but again,
you don't want to be the one team that El Dorado scores on.
But yeah, but you don't.
When you're up 14-0, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a tough line.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, the Bullpups take a lot of pride in their defense.
Right.
They have the lowest number of goals allowed, and I think they want that mark to stay intact.
Yeah. So I thought about that, and I thought about asking Coach Adrian, but sometimes it's just interesting. So it was a fun win last night. The Bullpups are 15-1-1 after the 14-0 win over El Dorado, and they will take on Andover Central on Thursday. Also in action yesterday was Bullpup softball, who dropped its first game of regionals to Abilene 9-0. So their season ends at 4-17. Abilene would go on to win that regional. They beat Hayes.
Stunning, yeah.
So we knew that regional was wide open, and that if the Bullpups could have just put together a good game in game one, that we both thought against Hayes they would have a chance.
Right.
But unfortunately, they didn't get that chance.
Yeah, and it was kind of it was the same story of the entire. It was a microcosm of the season, because they played well early. It was like 0-0 until the fourth. And then errors just did them in. They had 6 errors. Abilene used the big inning. 3 runs, 4 runs, and then a 2-run. So it ended up 9-0. Addie Fitzmorris.
That's sort of the way it's been all year.
Yeah, it's been that way all year. Addie Fitzmorris did strike out 9. So, you know, at times it sounds like she had good stuff. Didn't hear from Coach Fitzmorris today, so had to go without any comments. I know it was a rough year for the Bullpups, 4-17. They've got some good young players. They had a winning JV record, so some of those players will be moving up. But it was a tough year. They did sweep Bueller, so that's a highlight.
There
Anytime
you, go.
You sweep Bueller, that's a highlight. They swept El Dorado, but lost. You know,
I don't know if that's always a highlight.
I really thought this team, after the first 2 games of the year, you know, they only lost 6-5 to Andale, which is always a power, and then they lost another 1-run.
When they
game.
Played well in that opening doubleheader against Hayes and Andover,
right?
They played well in those games. If I remember right, they lost both of them like 6-5.
Yeah, they lost the first 2 games 6-5, 7-6, I believe it was, and then after that, It was just the defense. They just struggled so much defensively, and the big inning did them in. So hopefully next season will be a better season. Some of the girls will play maybe some summer softball, get a little more experience. I'm sure there's traveling teams. It's like every sport. It seems like there's a traveling team in every sport. So anyway, tough year for the softball team, and hopefully they'll bounce back next year.
A little bit later on in the show, we'll preview baseball regionals today as the Bullpups and us make our way over to Hayes America. McPherson will take on Ulysses in the first game starting at 2, and we will take the air at 1:50. When we come back, I want to talk about the NBA because Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals was last night, and LeBron's team is down 2-0. We'll take a break. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
We're back on today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. He's Steve Sell. Steve, we have recapped Bullpup Soccer and their exciting win. Well, I don't know if it was all that exciting in their win over El Dorado last night.
It was exciting to see several girls score their first goal.
It is an interesting time anytime you play a team like that. And from our perspective, one goal that we always have in games like that, they're a little rough. You want to try your best to not make fun of the other team.
Right.
And that's our goal a lot of the time, but it's hard when the other team is not very good. And when they're really bad, you have to hold yourself back a little bit from the excitement as well as any sort of poking fun at them because they don't really deserve that.
They don't. They don't.
They're trying their best.
They were trying their best.
Well, the team that I think will be poked fun at a lot, the Cleveland Cavaliers, after they lost Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals last night in Boston, 107-94. And this was a game, Steve, that the Cavs led at halftime, and then Boston won the third quarter, 36-22. And that's when the game kind of got away from them. LeBron finished with 42, as well as 10 rebounds, 12 assists. Kevin Love, 22-15.
Well, you know, Paul Pierce said the only way the Cavs have a chance is if LeBron goes for 40-10-10. Well, they went 42-10-10, and they still didn't win. So that tells me this series isn't going to last long. He's getting no help, no help whatsoever. The Cavaliers now, you know, they're cadavers now. They're done. You can just forget this series. They might win a game in Cleveland. They might win, you know, they might win two, but they're not going to win four out of the next five. There's no way.
I still think this series has a lot of game and a lot of time left for LeBron, especially once he gets home, but one of the points that they were making on the broadcast a lot last night, Steve, is that the Celtics sort of play as a team and that they are very supportive of each other. Marcus Smart, as much as people around these parts don't like him very much for his backflip in the fog.
Oh, yeah.
As much as people don't like Marcus Smart, he's a very good teammate. Same goes for the Al Horfords, the other guys on the Celtics, Jason Tatum, Rozier.
Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. So when you these guys sort of play together as a team, and the comment they kept making on the broadcast was, anytime Cleveland got in some trouble, a lot of eye rolls, a lot of shrugs,
yeah,
a lot of hands in the air, and that they could tell that Cleveland in about the fourth quarter was not real interested in that game. And I don't know if you got to see the video, J.R. Smith got a really bad flagrant foul as Al Horford was going up to the rim, sort of pushed him from behind. Do you remember that video from the state basketball tournament that was at Hayes?
Yeah, where the kid got run into the standard.
So it was kind of like that, not that extreme. He was going up for a lob, but just pushed him in the back, and Marcus Smart got real mad. It just was crumbling for Cleveland, and now they trail 2-0. Steve, I had a take back in August. Might have even been July. It was a long time ago when the Cleveland Cavaliers decided to trade Kyrie Irving for Isaiah Thomas, as well as a draft pick, which after the lottery last night, I believe turned out to be number 8. And I said, that might be the trade that changes this Cleveland team, but not for the better.
Yeah, it was
that
a heist.
That might be the trade that snaps the 7 consecutive years of LeBron going
that
to the finals.
That was a heist because Isaiah Thomas lasted all of about 15 games. He's out, you know, with Lonzo and Big Baller out there in L.A. And you know, they tried to bring in guys over the offseason that had a pedigree, like Dwayne Wade, you know, Derrick Rose.
That didn't work.
And halfway through the season, they basically got rid of almost about everybody but about 3 guys. I think they traded 6 or 7 of their guys, redid their team. They still had LeBron, Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, but then everybody else.
Remember they had Jay Crowder?
Yeah. 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 They did. Now he's out in where, L.A.? No.
I was thinking Utah.
Yeah, Utah. That's right. They just got rid of everybody. And LeBron is going to be gone. That's what I'm saying right now. LeBron is gone after this year.
Well, whenever I made that statement and said, this is a move that I think the Celtics won big time.
Oh, I did too.
I got smashed. People were ripping me for that, going, are you kidding me? How can you say that? I'm taking my money on LeBron.
Isaiah Thomas had the worst defensive averages last year when they did all those performance quotas and things like that. Isaiah Thomas was like the worst defender in the NBA, and he's only like 5'10". I mean, the guy can score, but he can't do anything else.
People were hard on me for that take. And the thing that I saw with it is this was the moment, and now that I was thinking about it this morning when I was waking up, brushing my teeth, hanging out, the thing that I thought about is that moment was the initial time that LeBron James's Cavaliers of 2017-2018 became different from the Cavaliers teams of the past, but resorted back to one Cavalier team in particular, and that was the year that he decided to leave because everybody would watch the games and say, it's LeBron and nobody else. And when you have Kyrie Irving, as well as Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson played really well in the finals 2 years ago, you throw in a hot J.R. Smith, you can say, okay, he's got a cast that's good enough. But when you get rid of the second best player on that team with all sorts of problems internally and you willingly trade him away for Isaiah Thomas, a system player that I never thought could work with LeBron, that was the moment where the Cavaliers went from, ooh, this is a team that could maybe find a way to win the finals again, to it's LeBron and nobody else.
Yeah.
That's the moment where this team stinks.
Do you think the other Cavaliers, maybe they don't say it publicly and they don't show it, but inwardly they're thinking, God, LeBron's just a ball hog. He just does everything, you know, and he always thinks he's never wrong. You know, he always acts superior. But, you know, you just wonder what the other Cavaliers think about him.
I think the other Cavaliers are thinking, boy, without LeBron, we would have lost to the Pacers.
We'd be in the lottery. We'd be in the lottery without LeBron.
I think that the guys that are on the team with him now are smart enough to realize that he's for the better there.
He's the show.
But I think Kyrie Irving always wanted to be his own thing.
Yeah.
Where he was a terrific player throughout his time with Cleveland, but with LeBron being the guy still in front of him, I think Kyrie Irving knew that he could never be the guy with him.
What's it going to say about the Celtics if they make the finals without their 2 best players?
Without Hayward, without Kyrie Irving.
And you know, the way Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have played, what do they do with Hayward next year?
Because it's a good problem to have.
$128 million or something like that, and he plays the same position as those two guys, and they're playing like all-stars.
For that broken leg on the sideline?
I think you take one of those guys, either Tatum or Brown, and trade them and get a superstar big man. There's not many big men around, but those guys are going to be they're all-stars. And I don't think you can play a lineup with Tatum, Brown, and Hayward all in the same lineup. I just don't think it'd work.
All right, so Cleveland now down 2-0. They will go back to the Q, as they call it, Quicken Loans Arena.
We're going to go to the Q.
Yeah, that's true. The Golden Q.
The Golden Q out in Hayes, yeah.
We're on our way to that today. Tonight, Steve, Warriors at the Rockets, game number 2. I get a feeling Golden State's going to have a big night again tonight.
I think Golden State may sweep it after watching that first game. I think I think Houston really thought in that first game, which I actually did watch quite a bit of, I think Houston thought they were going to win because they were home. And when they got dominated, I just think their spirit just got broken.
Yeah. Well, Steve, let's take our final break. When we come back, we preview baseball regionals today in Hayes. That's where we're headed right now. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell. Steve, for those people that need to go back and listen to this show later on, maybe they work an important job Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1.
A lot more important we do.
They don't have the luxuries that we do, and they say, I can't listen to it live. They can always go back and listen on podcast, soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Steve, we are currently on our way to Hayes. Well, by now, we're probably almost there. We're recording this show a little bit early today because we've got baseball in Hayes, regionals for the Bullpups as they take on Ulysses in game number one starting at 2 o'clock. We will take the air at about 1:50, but Steve, as we look at today's very important day for Bullpup baseball, it's a day that we've been waiting for all season because you never know what's going to happen at regionals. And we knew that this Bullpup team would have a chance at a number one seed, but now they have a real chance to make it back to state for the first time since 2015.
And if you told me before the season that the Bullpups would be 14-6, the number one seed, and in good shape to perhaps make state, I didn't think this team at the start of the year, I thought 8-12 would be a really good record. When you look at all the players they've lost the last 2 years, you know, a lot of those guys were part of that 2015 team that they've lost in the last 2 years. They've lost some great seniors. But Coach Gerstner's done a great job with this team, and they know if they win this regional, they've eliminated two of the best teams.
Right.
Because Buehler and Hayes are both ranked. I think Buehler beats Hayes. I think Buehler's got a really good number one. That's a, you know, and you know they're going to throw him against Hayes because they can't save
him.
Have to. So I think Buehler wins. I think their number one's stronger than Hayes' number one from everything I've seen. And the Bullpups are going to play Ulysses. And, of course, Coach Gerstner, it's that age-old, you know, decision you got to make if you're a coach and you play the, you know, the bottom seed. Do you start your number one to make sure you get to the finals? Or do you go with your second guy and have, you know, a cast of thousands behind him? And if it gets in trouble, go to the bullpen. But Coach Gerstner is going to start his number two guy, Zane Myers, and he thinks Zane Myers is good enough to get him passed, and then that'd save Dylan Wearies for the championship game.
I get the feeling that the Bullpups are going to try to use their starter, Zane Myers, as long as they can.
Yeah.
That they are going to try to get as much out of him as possible, but also have their number one, Dylan Wearies, ready to go whenever.
Yeah.
Whether that means it's the second inning and you need him, you're in a jam, and you can't give up a run, maybe it means then. Maybe it means the sixth inning of game one and you need to get an out.
Right.
Or if you get through game one and you win game one, you're into game two and you start him.
Yeah.
I think that he will kind of play that role today of be ready whenever we need you.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see, because remember, you can only throw 100 pitches in one day. So if Wearies does have to come in game one for whatever reason to nail it down, you know, he won't go as far in game two. But you got Chandler Wired. You got Gunnar Reese. Those guys are very capable.
Jacob Feil has been great out of the bullpen
this year.
Jacob
Feil's been nailed. So the Bullpups certainly have enough pitchers, I should say. But you want to get – I don't look for Zane Myers to go seven. I'd be surprised if he does.
He did in his last start.
But he did in his last start. And, you know, he's got confidence. Coach Gerstner's got confidence in him.
That is the recipe for success.
And this is a Bullpup team that somehow, some way has been putting up 10 runs a game.
Yeah.
Which at the start of the year, we were all saying, where's the offense going to come from? And this team has been one of the most prolific offensive teams we've had.
And you look up and down the lineup, Dylan Weiries is batting 500. Gunnar Rees is batting about 320. Zane Myers is hitting about 350. Gabe Hoover at about 330. I think there's only two bats in the lineup that are not hitting above 300, and they're all sitting at like 270.
Well, Coach Gerstner said it best, though. It's going to come down to pitching and defense.
Yes, as regionals always do.
Regionals always do. It's, you know, a lot of teams have one really good pitcher. That teams that aren't very good have one good pitcher. So Ulysses will probably have one guy that's pretty good. So
overall, their team ERA has not been very good this year. It hovers in the sevens,
yeah,
which is not a very good number at all.
Good, no.
But their team batting average is very high.
Yeah.
And so the thing that we'll see today is some confident Ulysses hitters.
But they don't play
exactly
the competition the Bullpups play. Bullpups play a lot of 5A schools this year.
The other thing to keep your eye on, Steve, and for those of you that'll be listening at midkansasonline.com, or you could just be listening on your radio at home, the big inning is the thing that is so scary at regionals, where you can give up runs, especially this McPherson team, because they can score runs. You can give up runs, but you can't have an inning of giving up five runs,
and
giving up eight runs.
And I think about the 2016 season. It came down to McPherson and Buehler, which were two of the top five teams in the state, and it was the big inning that did the Bullpups in.
You can't have the big inning.
They were ahead in the regional. They were up in the, I believe it was the sixth inning, they were up 9-7. And Buehler scored four runs, ends up winning 11-9. And Buehler then had no trouble at state. They rolled through state like just, you know, went right through it.
Like dice on the craps table at the Kansas Star Casino?
Well, I don't know about that, but
they rolled right through.
Okay, all right. I see what you're saying now. Okay. A little slow on the uptake.
The big inning is so important. And I think if Coach Gerstner was drawing up the game plan, you can't have a big inning early.
Right.
That is almost the most important
thing. And last year
in the
regional, I think the Bullpups gave up like seven or eight right out of the chute.
And you can't have it happen.
And they just deflated. I think it ended up like 16-2 or something like that.
The big inning is so important. The pitching is so important. And the defense is so important. And those are things that we'll be talking about today throughout the game. Hopefully we get two. Hopefully we're there for two games. First game starts at 2 against Ulysses, who coming into this game was 5-13. And then the final game, hopefully, that they play will be at slotted for 6, but
no
I don't think there's any chance it starts.
Never happens. It never happens. I've seen some crazy times by Keisha. They had games scheduled in some of the regionals for like 2, 3:30 and 5 in some of the, and I'm going, there's
not
no
happening.
Way. There's no high school baseball games go at least 2 hours no matter what. I don't care how good they are.
Unless it's really ugly.
Yeah.
So we will be in Hayes today. First pitch is at 2 o'clock from Hayes High School. It's not at the college like the football games were. It's at Hayes High School, kind of back behind the school. Great facility, turf infield.
Turf.
It's a cool setup, Steve. I think that we'll enjoy it. We will take the air at about 150. Then Hayes and Buehler will play at about 4, but we'll probably start more like 4:30.
Yeah.
And then the championship game, if the Bullpups win the first one, some range between 6 and 7 it will start.
Yeah.
We just don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know.
So a fun day coming up, Steve. Let's hope for 2 wins and a trip to state next week in
Emporia. You bet.
All right, Steve, we wrap up today's show. Catch us on the air as we take it for the first pitch at about 1:50. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk with you later on this afternoon.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.